Bohemian Grove, so many have heard about it now, thousands across the nation. It all began for me back in 1993-94, I don't remember which, but one of the satanic, richly abused individuals that I sat down with and talked to that came from Fort Bragg, had worked in, you know, military government, and I don't want to go into all that background, but just simply to tell you this, that in our hundreds of hours of conversation over years, one day this individual began to talk to me about a place called Bohemian Grove. They began to describe this tremendous retreat center where leaders from all over the world come, and where they have this great big owl, and there's Moloch worship. Worship of an ancient deity, demon deity. They began to describe to me all the different places, basements and underground places and cabins and so many of the abusive things that were occurring there. It was amazing to me to listen to them, and so one day as we were discussing things, they asked me if I had paper, and I had this 17 by 11 size paper at my office, and I pulled it out and laid it before them. And they began to literally draw out the entire landscape. I mean, with where like a lake was and cabins and the names of places. I still have all the pages. And they drew this great big owl and a lake and people sitting on the other side and people in hoods and what looked like a human being that was going to be thrown into some ritual pot. And I looked over all this, and they began to explain to me back then that this was a place that a lot of the monarchs and others from MKUltra and secret projects and Luciferians would meet up and bring in, you know, the core of sex slaves and so many of these trained Babylon working babies, as they called them, individuals. Listen. This is the place where they were going to do what they could to corrupt world leaders, to do what they could to influence world leaders, to blackmail world leaders. I want you to hear what I experienced back there in the early 90s, listening to not just one, but others who had sub-personalities and then dealing with them and breaking the demonic presence and finding out that inside were personalities that could describe in detail Bohemian Grove. And they could tell what went on there. They can tell about cabins. They can describe at some places where rituals were done. Some places were just sex with little boys and little girls. Can you imagine? Why in the world are we even dealing with or having this page out there called the Assault on Bohemian Grove? Some of you have read all about it. And I'm very, very sure by the providence of God, there'll be some of you who have been victims and you'll know full well. Some of you keep it in secret still. Some of the sub-personalities have been created. They know all about it. Some of you who've been out and you want the world to know and you've read about things, maybe God's going to call you to come out and begin to tell more and more and more. Because now, listen, the sins of this place, the ungodly things going on in this place are piled up before God. You know, going all the way back to Germany, probably over 200 years, long, long time, these Luciferians have set this up. There's a front to it, a mask that looks like a neat place for men, a men's club, all this other junk. But behind it are Luciferians. Behind it are real Luciferian worshipers. And their devotion to the deity Moloch. And they're appeasing that ancient deity. Now, when I sat there listening to this individual that I've come to trust over years and years of spending time with them, and hundreds of hours discussing so many things, and so many things. Matter of fact, one day this individual, after sharing all they could about it, brought to me a necklace that had a little silver owl that she gave me and said was hers. She was used there as a sexual object. She was used there in ritual stuff. They use some of them to conjure powers. They use others to be sex slaves or to be those who will compromise world leaders and important people that have great influence that could be bribed later on. Who knows all the of the decadent, immoral, ungodly. Listen, if you're looking at the web page, or you've seen some of the many, many pictures now that are on the web of that, what is it, 40-foot owl, whatever it is, the statue that represents an ancient deity, and the effigy of a human being that's thrown in. Somebody brought to me, I believe, in the somewhere around 2000-2001, the incredible video of a brave man, Alex Jones, that went inside and got pictures, and will even show like the effigy of a human being. Well, let me tell you something. I don't believe it's an effigy. I believe that all those world leaders, including our presidents, governors and senators, representatives, they're all brought there for a purpose. Who is ever behind all of it, these ancient Luciferians, these are the people that are connected to the goal of bringing in a new world order. These are the people that are connected to the coming rise of the Antichrist. These are the people who know what it is to conjure demonic presence, to send out dark powers. When you see on video representatives of the United States of America and world leaders sitting there in the wooded area, and across the lake, these people that are in robes laying out an entire ritual. And listen, even if it was just an effigy of a human being thrown into that fire, and they call it the cremation of care, that they're casting all their cares away. Listen, they must think everybody is stupid, that they won't know what's really going on there. They won't understand the spiritual temperature. What's really happening is those leaders have been gathered all there in that area for one reason, so that they can be collected together, so that powers can be raised and literally demonic presence sent on our world leaders to influence them and to open them to the darkness, to open them to the Luciferian side, to weaken their disposition, to move them later on through their camping experience into sexual encounters and ritual encounters and other things that go on. I mean, we've only got to see from the one film from Alex Jones, the little glimpses. Listen, the Bohemian Grove has been there for over 100 and some years in the United States, in San Francisco. They've been doing all these things for so many years. And it's not just one ritual a year. This is the place where tons of things go on all year long. And then this great big one that's been kind of exposed. You've got to realize that those 2,000 and some of the 200, whatever the entire footage is for sure of the grounds there, that are there clearly like the Old Testament, where the land becomes demonized, the air becomes demonized, the rituals are really real, and they're done. So listen, in all of this that you're looking at, I'm encouraging you, especially if you're new to this information on the Bohemian Grove, that you've got to understand a couple of things. One, there's a number of other places like this around the United States and all throughout Europe, that ritual centers all over the world are there operating, conjuring the powers, appeasing Satan, and preparing, helping to release the powers in preparation for the coming reign of Antichrist. You got to understand how the dark side works. You really got to understand occult level spiritual warfare. And sometimes we got to go back to the Old Testament, like to 2 Kings chapters 21, 22, 23. When you read about Manasseh, how one individual, you know, opened up what should have been all of God's land and property and place, even his temple. And he brought in all this, the worship of the starry host and every kind of god and goddess, including Moloch worship. He even sacrificed his own son to the demon god. And all this spiritual corruption was so bad and so hideous that even the temple of God, they took symbols, satanic symbols or symbols of the deities, and put them up on the temple. And they had the occult priestesses on the inside of the temple making Asherah poles and continuing the worship and appeasement of the demons, thus literally taking over everything. Now listen, when you look at some of the pictures and do some web searches, I've got a bunch of information, but there's so much out there now. My information goes over Project Josiah and what this is all about. Join the prayer assault, the prayer warrior side of things, understanding the occult warfare, giving you information about Bohemian Grove, looking over some of the history, and I'll be adding the issues of secrecy, ritual powers, the elite, and more I'll be adding this week. But I just want to encourage you right now that if you're a believer in Christ, that I trust that God in His providence is drawing you into prayer, drawing you in to realize this hideous, ungodly wickedness. And I'm going to pray right now that God will give us a spirit of boldness. The righteous are as bold as a lion, and the wicked should flee. That we need to see God raise up many, many powerful Deborahs, Esthers, Josiahs, Nehemiahs, Daniels. That we need to see Christians who are powerful and strong, that are being built up as the body of Christ. As Jesus said, that the very gates of Hades, hell itself, will not be able to prevail against. And we don't need to live in fear. That's sheer impoverishment as far as Christendom is concerned. We must repent of all the fear that we're into, that snares our lives and keeps us from growing. I believe sometimes there's Christians that are even afraid to grow in the Lord because they know that they might be led out there to lead people to Christ, help people, and eventually encounter the dark side and do some deliverance. But God's given us all in Christ. Luke chapter 10, look at the 70 disciples. And Jesus sends them to preach the gospel of the kingdom, preaching salvation, healing, you know, praying for the healing of lives, and then casting out the demonic presence, because like Jesus said, I have given you authority to trample on these demonic principalities and powers, to overcome Nike, decisive victory, to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Can I call you by God's leading in my life to stand up and decide that you're going to be a great witness for Jesus Christ, that you're going to surrender to Him to be clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit, that you're going to be obedient to the Word of God, that you're going to join into the prayer assault against Bohemian Grove as you feel God calls you? Don't be afraid to step out and do this. Listen, don't be afraid. Some girl, oh, I'm afraid that there there'll be backlash. Well, you know what? There might be. But if you're a trained believer, you can understand the backlash. You can also understand the shield of victory that God can give you. You can also understand that we can all just say nothing about this. We can all just shut up about it. We can all take down our websites, and we can let the little girls get raped by men. We can let the little boys be raped by men. We can let them go through another series of rapes and ritual misuses and degradation and snuff films and porno films and all the other junk. And we can allow all these people to cart these children in and split their personalities and build into them all these useful tools for the Luciferian side. We can allow that our leaders here in the United States are all going there being influenced as they conjure the power of the ancient deity, the ancient gods and goddesses, specifically Moloch, as they offer, even if it's an effigy, which I don't believe it is, a real human being that brings tremendous satanic powers in appeasement and release. If you want to sit back and let that all occur, then listen, we can all just go suck our thumbs, sit in a cave somewhere, and wait till we go to heaven if we think we're really going. There's a judgment seat of Christ in which we will all, as Christians, we will all be judged on what we've done in the body, whether good or bad. So I'm just telling you, listen, if we have to go out at all, go out with guns blazing. Go out with giving God all the glory, all the praise. Go out with letting Jesus shine like Stephen. If that was to occur, why are we as Christians so afraid that that might be the scenario? Most Christians will never be martyred like that. Most Christians will never be persecuted like that. Please understand that. But please also understand that great, powerful witnesses for Christ can win thousands to Jesus. Great, powerful Christians like Philip in the book of Acts can, you know, literally bring the kingdom of God right into a city and invade, you know, an entire city and see people get saved, healed, and delivered, just like Jesus taught in Luke chapter 10. My dear Christian friend, I think we should all sit before God and weep and mourn over our own stupidity. That we've let this country just be, since the 60s, the greatest proliferation of occultic literature, the second greatest release in all of history. We now have, what do we have among us, 30,000 different cults? What do we have now? 60 million New Agers among us? How many covens did Father Shefton in his book say there were among us? 100,000 covens possibly? Come on. Come on. Let me ask you something. What are you doing with your life right now as a believer? And listen, maybe you're called to whatever else, but I just wanted to let you know, as a believer in Jesus Christ, according to Luke 10, Jesus was the example. He trained the early disciples. In the Great Commission, he commissioned them to go out and do the very things he did. Then we see the same thing happen in the book of Acts. And for 30 years, the early New Testament church continued to be obedient to God. You know why? They never needed to pray for revival. I'm telling you, in the book of Acts, for 30 years, they never needed to pray for revival because they never went cold or never got dead. Acts 5:42 says they never stopped teaching and preaching. You know, they never stopped. They went from house to house to temple courts. They were pouring out Christ, getting people saved. They're praying for everybody to get healed. They're praying against every demonic presence and kicking out every demon everywhere they went. I mean, you could read it all in the book of Acts. And God followed that with signs and wonders and supernatural events. Even when Peter was put in prison, when the church people were praying in a little house, and God sent angels. And look at the supernatural deliverance, part of what this assault on Bohemian Grove is all about. Look how God took an angel and sent an angel to Herod, the wicked king that was allowing the persecution and allowing great wickedness, the arrogant, pompous, wicked king. And an angel of God struck him. And God knows how to bring down kings. He knows how to bring down people like that. When you read in 2 Kings 22 and 23 and God raising up Josiah, when you read about that. Well, I'll go over that point by point in a moment. I'm just simply sitting here to do a little bit of raging over this whole issue. That when I look at this picture of this big old owl and all those people in hoods standing there, when I remember listening to this person tell me the stories, then I heard it from another and another and another. Then the first time I saw some of the pictures in there, you know what? It's not enough just to learn about it. Too much is given, much is required. Listen, let's not baby around any longer as believers. We're too pampered. We're too worried about, you know, having a hangnail. We're too worried about, you know, stubbing our toe. We're too worried about maybe getting yelled at or cussed out by somebody. We're too worried that if we put up a prayer against the demonic ritual like this, that something's going to come and get us. Who is your God? Are you not more than a conqueror through him who, you know, who loved us? Are you not more than a conqueror in Christ? Did he not say that I will build a church and the gates of hell will not prevail? Did he not say that the righteous are as bold as a lion? Did he not say that he would give us authority to trample the dark side and to overcome? That's the Greek word nike, a decisive victory. All the power of the enemy, not some, all of it. Let's get our scripture straight. Let's get our lives straight. Let's quit grieving the Spirit of God. Let's quit being spiritual babies, couch potatoes, and spectators. And let's become the men and women of God that we're supposed to. It's not just about our own personal nurture. It's not just about our own personal peace. I've got peace like a river. I've got joy just untold in my life. But I don't seek my whole Christian life just saying, I want to be happy. I want to be joyful. I want to feel peace. I just want to feel good all the time. Because I want to tell you what right now, I don't feel good when I look at this picture. I don't feel good thinking of that girl that I sat before as she told me of the sexual rape and sexual ritual things that were done and of the perversions that were allowed. That's part of the whole satanic scheme. 2 Thessalonians 2 tells you that moral and sexual decadence goes hand in hand with the rise and ramping up of demonic counterfeit signs, wonders, miracles, and every kind of thing Satan is doing to bring in the Antichrist. So when you have places like this that dirty the conscience, the morality, through all these perversions, that gives room because it dirties the conscience. It squelches what might be there concerning a verse of scripture or maybe church that some of these leaders used to go to. Now, I can't imagine any of our governors and leaders and world leaders going to this thing and sitting there thinking it's like a play, like a Christmas play. They're sitting there like a bunch of idiots. Now, I don't want to say this disrespectfully because I pray for my leaders like 2 Timothy tells me to, for kings and all those in authority. I pray for them. I pray for their salvation. But I realize that Satan has an agenda and he has a focus about those in authority, military and political leaders, because he needs them for the future. And so he's going to do what he can to dirty them. So if you understand, again, how satanic ritual powers and how the weakening of the moral structure through this perverted decadence that will allow the spirits to bring influence to the conscience of a dirtied soul, then you understand the whole game that's being played behind the scenes. To us, I can say a game, but to them it's satanic precision. It's satanic strategy. It's satanic methodology. These individuals, guided by dark powers, possibly even in their own underground worship, meeting with the presence of Lucifer himself, the Satan, the fallen one, the fallen cherub, being inspired and being given. If you don't understand how the dark side supernatural works, go back to Scripture. Go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Go back to reading about the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. Look up that word work in Agais. It refers to a supernatural operative power. By the way, that's the same Greek word used for us. It's God who is at work in us to will and to do according to his good purpose. So we understand the supernatural operative power of God is inside of us as believers, operating in such a way that we're going to do the things and do the will of God and accomplish good things and live out the kind of life God wants us to and accomplish the fruit and win souls and so forth. God is at he's operating supernaturally in you through the Word of God, the Spirit of God. Well, Satan is operating through his who've devoted themselves to him. Through his words and the operation of powerful demon spirits. And as long as they keep doing it in secrecy and under deception and seduction, they get away with a lot. And I'm sick of it. I'm absolutely sick of it. I'm absolutely sickened. I'm going to pray that God's going to take me there to San Francisco. I'm going to pray that somehow God's going to get me there to San Francisco. Somehow we're going to engage this. I know I don't have to be there to pray it. That's why I've already begun this for some time now. That's why I felt led by God to just join maybe others that are already doing this. I don't know. I just know that I'm joining what the Spirit of God has been calling across the nation. There are victims that have told us now that they've been there, that they've gone through these things. To hear it once is enough. To hear it many times. And the more and more and the more. How many, what are we going to have? 1,000 of the stories? Do we have to hear 1,000 times about when 40-year-old people back when they were 10 and 12 and 14, they were sexually brutalized and brought into rituals and demonized and used and humiliated and abused. And then the technology of that satanic mind control to make them amnesiac and to bury memories was all used. All that satanic power, technology, all of it combined. God of heaven help us if we don't do anything at all. God of heaven help us if we're going to be just lethargic, Laodicean, again, thumb-sucking Christians hiding in some stinking cave somewhere. We're not worthy of the name. We're not worthy of Christendom. We're not worthy of the blood that was shed. We're not worthy of the cross that Jesus hung on. Jesus said, take up the cross and follow me. Forget about your own life. Forget about, you know, how it's not all about just how good you feel. It's about a battle for the souls of others. I'm going to feel good in heaven all of eternity. I'm going to feel good, man. I'm going to be, listen, I feel joy. I feel life. But you know what? Here in the middle of the battle, that's a part of it. I've got a taste of what's to come. I'm already convinced of that. I already know where I'm going. I already know that I'm gonna be, you know, changed in the twinkling of an eye. That at that moment, that flash, that subatomic physics of God, when our mortality is changed in that twinkling of an eye to being immortal and seeing God face to face. I don't want to be some stinking selfish American Christian that all I think about is what I get, and say to hell with the rest of the nation. And to hell with all the little kids. I want to repent. Father, as we simply bow our heads before you right now, we simply say, God, forgive us in this nation where there is so much and so much of you and so much, many churches and so much of what you've done here. And yet this land has been desecrated. Satan has brought in his minions and he has set up camp. But you've warned us, you told us that even as you build the wheat, the evil one will come at night and build the tares. We know it's being done. and it's being done. One of those places, Father, is the Bohemian Grove. One of those places is an outrage. It's an outrage. God, may your Spirit let us know the outrage of heaven over this area. The outrage. And also know that the anointed Messiah, Christ, that has been anointed to be the one proclaiming good news, opening the eyes of the blind, setting the prisoners free. And, you know, the ministry that you have, Lord Jesus, is amazing. And God, help us to get out there. Help us to do that ministry of proclaiming a powerful, incomparable word of grace and mercy that's found in Jesus. God, cause us to repent and let the Spirit of God no longer be grieved and the fire of God no longer quenched by our own idiotic behavior. God, forgive our sin. God, forgive us for what we have done. How we've turned your church into a popsicle stand. And all we want is the flavors. God, I pray right now that you will just stretch out your hands over our lives and cause us, grant us revival, God. Let revival, the spirit of revival and fire, fall upon us and leading us to total repentance, leading us to submit to God, resist the devil, draw near to God as you draw near to us, to wash our hands from all sin, purify our hearts from all the double-mindedness, to grieve and mourn and wail if we need to because of the, and we need to look at the wretchedness of our own slack, Laodicean and pitiful and blindedness that we have as believers at times. God, I'm so sick of it. Forgive me, God. Forgive me. Forgive me for not doing more. Forgive me, like in Isaiah 58, for not spending myself on behalf of the victims. Forgive me for just enjoying what I have and sitting back and not taking it to every single person. Forgive me, God. Forgive me for not allowing you to demonstrate your great mercy, compassion, and love, and power, and authority, being the kind of part of the body of Christ that I should be. I ask you to just forgive me. I'm sick of the wretchedness of fruitlessness and fear. I'm sick of just worrying about, you know, just what we're supposed to have ourselves. And God, convict our complaining and our bickering and our mumbling and grumbling, and forgive us, God. Help us to surrender. God, in wrath, remember mercy, as a prophet said. God, as it says in James 5, that mercy triumphs over judgment. Forgive us again. Renew us again. Holy Spirit, forgive us for grieving you and not doing what we need to be doing. Forgive us for being disobedient to the Great Commission, disobedient in soul winning, disobedient in prayer for the healing of others, disobedient to the use of our spiritual gifts in the proper way, disobedient to discipleship and follow-up, disobedient. Father, I just pray for the Spirit of the Lord to move all of us, all of us. All of us, God. And I just pray, Lord God, that you will just move all of us. My dear friend, as a believer in Christ, I want you to be encouraged right now too, that God's going to just lift you up, God's going to build you, and God can change you completely and make you powerful. Step out in faith, in obedience to the Word of God. Listen, you receive everything by faith, but you manifest everything in obedience. In obedience, you will grow. In obedience, you will have a deep experience with God. In obedience, the Holy Spirit will be all over you. In obedience, you will bear fruit. You can't help it. You can't help it when you're being obedient to God. Let's repent of disobedience. If you're on the side at all concerning the assault on the Bohemian Grove and all the things that have been done there, you can read about a lot of it. I've got 2 Kings 21 through 23 on the web. Study it in your own word, your own scriptures you have there before you, and just simply look over Project Josiah. Take a look at what the demons were given room to do in all of Jerusalem and even in the temple. When individuals like Manasseh, we have a number of Manassehs all over our nation right now. It's no different. Not until Jesus returns and it's all over. Not until the great white throne judgment. Not until it's completely, absolutely done. So I want to tell you, until Jesus returns, that you and I are called to expose evil deeds of darkness. You know what the scripture says. That's an act of obedience. It's an act of obedience to expose these evil deeds of darkness, according to Ephesians 5. And that we're to witness and win the lost, and that we're to bring the healing graces of Jesus to those who have been desecrated and used and sexually abused and just mentally torn up, and their souls have been split. And we're also to come against all the demonic. All the believers, not specialists, not individuals, not just great big, know-it-alls out there. Not at all. I'm just one among, I just look at myself as one among many hundreds of thousands of believers. That's all I want to be, just one of many hundreds of thousands of believers that'll just, all I know to do is obey God. Obey God and He'll show up. Obey God and He'll do things through your life. And so I'm asking you, I'm asking those who God leads to listen. God leads, and some have already written and already have committed to it. And so I want to just go over some of the agenda here. The reason for the assault on the Bohemian Grove is that it's become a stench before God of all the things that have been done, whether it's one child or 1,000 or 5,000 over the years. And of those perverts and perpetrators that are there that have been doing this. Of the satanic powers that have been drawn and sent. And we'll take a look at that later on in Revelation 16. If you don't understand how they do it, you've got to learn it from the biblical side and know that it's going on in actual, in your backyard. In your, I've got six covens in the city that I live around here. And you got to understand something. It's all throughout the United States, Europe, England, and so forth. The satanic agenda is growing just like God said in Scripture. So if you take a look at that first little tab and you click on Project Josiah, take a look at what the goal is here. Concerning praying against the demonic presence and praying for all those leaders that have been influenced by the demons, and that the spell and curses and so forth, the demons have been sent out to influence them, and to pray for the victims all across this United States, to the blood crying out where maybe kids have been buried, the bodies that have been offered every year after year after year after year after year, bodies have been offered. And you think that's the only time they do it, you're crazy. They're doing it all the time. And if nothing's done, like in that day, in 2 Kings, when you read it, eventually you're going to read where the innocent blood was shed from one side of the nation to the other. In all of the land, innocent blood had been shed. Nobody stood up. Nobody stopped it. Nobody did anything. As a matter of fact, one by one by one, the spiritual pacifists of the day fell to the dark powers until God raised up somebody else, till God got His word into somebody, till the book of the law was found and the word of God was read, and people repented and realized how far they have fallen, until they realized what they needed to do to rebuild the temple, and the body of Christ in your life needs to be rebuilt and set straight. And that all begins with us. Not just slamming the body of Christ. Where are you? What are you doing? How's your life? If you're on fire for the Lord, you should be crying out for the body of Christ and doing all you can to make it what it should be in your obedience to Jesus. But you got to realize what's going on in the United States of America. You got to understand what's happening since the 60s. It's like the floodgates of hell, you know, have opened up into our culture. And we're seeing a culture where the critical mass against Christ and Christians is growing. Antagonism. The decadence of our culture is destroying us. Politics is in chaos. And you wonder why? Biblically speaking, it all has to do that all the earthly affairs, the backdrop is spiritual affairs. Spiritual affairs over the politics, over the military, spiritual affairs and personal lives. And in our nation right now, the blood that's been shed there and in other places. And listen, you may know of other places other than Bohemian Grove. You may know of other places, but I'm saying that if we will do what Jesus said, if we can join together in prayer, join those who've already been praying. Maybe you're somebody out there that says, thank God, finally somebody else has caught up with us and they're going to join in prayer. We're just simply joining you, and we're going to pray also for all those victims. For all those unwittings that have been brought in to be influenced, we're going to pray against all the demonic presence and power. We're going to pray for all those perpetrators to be found. Listen, nothing is hidden Nothing is hidden from God concerning this. The good news is they can run, but they can't hide. They think that they've secured themselves, that time has passed, that they've got to do all the brutalization and all the sexual rape and all the things that they've done there. They think time has passed. They don't think that God's going to call them to a judgment, not just when they die, but even right now, like in Josiah's day. Even right now, when we see in the book of Acts that an angel of God was sent out and touched King Herod and dropped him. We know that right now that when people are like that and they're arrogant and they're not going to turn, that God can step in. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something. All of Rome, one of the greatest empires in all of world history. You know why Rome fell? You can read historians and everything else. I'm going to tell you, there's one verse in the Bible that will tell you why Rome, the decadent, the sexually decadent, moral decadent, the politically decadent, the emperor-worshipping, Antichrist Rome. You know why that incredible empire fell? Romans 16:20. That God promised the believers in Rome what was going to happen. That God would soon crush Satan under their feet. And eventually, it is God, on behalf of His purpose in the church, who brought the empire of Rome down. And it no longer exists. When Nero thought that he destroyed Christendom, and even had a coin that said, on the coin, they had a coin, the Christian religion is dead. And Christians were scattered all over the place, and Polycarp and others were being taken to the arena, and they were burning the Christians and feeding them to the animals and killing them. And you know what? It's not the Christian religion that's dead. Christendom survived because Jesus said He built a church that the gates of hell would not prevail against. I'm part of that church. That's what I'm a part of. I don't know about you, but I'm a part of that church. I've been baptized by the Spirit of God into that body, 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm a part of that body. And I want to tell you something. The Word of God tells me very clearly that an entire nation, and this is true of the Old Testament days, God brings down nations, and He'll bring down leaders, and He'll deal with these people. And I believe that with the prayers of many individuals, that those who have lived in luxury and decadence, those who have used little boys and little girls as sexual robots, those who have lived in decadence and been a part of maybe they're the priests or priestesses that have been a part of preparing bodies for that effigy and throwing that body into the flames and opening the doors to the demonic side. Listen, I'm convinced that all those secrets and all those things, God can do miraculous things. If God can bring down the entire Roman Empire, obviously He can bring down Bohemian Grove. I'm not talking about just a little tap on their door. I am talking about seeing Bohemian Grove fall completely to ruins. I am talking about seeing that place utterly decimated. And I don't care if the leaders, like the Nazi leaders of the past, try to run all over the globe. As long as there's even one Christian still praying, one believer still praying, like Daniel in his day. Daniel praying, living in Babylon. We don't live in Babylon like that. We don't, you know, they had 56 temples. He was living in a place that was demonically manifested on a daily basis. Demon-worshipping king. And all of the politics were committed to the demonic. And yet he stood there, resolved to be undefiled, resolved to stay pure. And he stayed in his prayer, and he prayed. And he became the window through whom God would operate and bring a great change and an eventual fall to all of Babylon. So I want you to know that I believe that with the prayers of many, so many of the perpetrators, some of them can repent, come out, confess, and acknowledge, rip open their shirts, and tell what they have done to find mercy from God. Otherwise, they're going to hell forever. They're going to be judged for all they've done. And if you're one of the perpetrators, if somebody's made a CD or you've gotten on the internet and you're listening right now from, you know, Bohemian Grove right on the very lot, maybe you're sitting at a computer in one of those rooms or one of those underground rooms, or maybe you're a senator or maybe you're a politician or a military man or a Luciferian, I'm going to tell you right now, maybe you've never heard it before, maybe you've never read it before, but there's a scripture in the Word of God that simply says this: nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. And you who mock, and you who laugh, and you who think you've gotten away with it, the judgment, listen, the great white throne is coming. But before that, you've got people that out here been touched by God. He's sick of what you've done. He's sick of your deeds. Mercy is offered to you. Mercy can triumph over judgment. But you must repent. You must stop it. You must get out. You must save the children that are in there right now. You must do what you can to turn things around. You need to come out right now. You need to repent right now. You need to get out of it right now. Otherwise, I trust that God will bring you down. God will bring you down. And not only will you be brought down and the judgment of God can come into that area and that your crimes can be found out and you can be taken in that way, or God can simply deal with you the way He dealt with King Herod, or the way He dealt with the king in Babylon that went crazy for 7 years. God has power to write on the wall, and I pray that He shows you. And that's what we're going to be praying. God will visit you with dream and vision and power and might and show you. If He needs to write on the wall to tell you that the reign of evil has ended, may God do it right now. May God do it right now. And if some of you who are so perverted and so arrogant and laughing, whatever, if you fall over dead right now, that your sin and your blood is on your own head. Because Jesus Christ died for you on the cross, offers you mercy, and you must repent. You must turn around. You must walk away from this stuff. God will forgive you if you'll turn. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, said Ezekiel the prophet. God spoke through Ezekiel the prophet. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they repent. I don't care who you were. I don't care if you think I'm asking that God will literally shake the seat that you're sitting on and the building that you're in, and that He'll give you the glimpses. God, may you visit them in their bedtime and their dreams and waking, and may bring conviction and strike their demons in the name of Jesus. I pray for you to be saved and not go to hell. But I guarantee you, you're going to hell for your sins. You reject Christ, you're going to hell, and you're going to pay the price. Jesus said, it'd be better that you have a millstone tied around your neck and thrown into the deepest sea than to face Him at the judgment for the things that you've done. So some of you, by God's providence, are going to hear this word. Some of you are going to be sent this CD. Some of you are going to hear about this. Maybe some of you who've wore those robes, maybe some of you in your 70s and 80s, maybe some of you close to your dying day, you know, and you're getting a glimpse of this. Maybe some of you have been assigned to do reconnaissance on all the Christians out there that are writing and talking about Bohemian Grove. Maybe some of you who are ritual workers that are looking who you're supposed to do your warfare against. Well, I trust that as you do it against us, that the hand of God's going to come to visit you. It's not me you're battling. It's the living Christ. You battle Christ. You battle God Almighty. And may He show you His power today. And may He bring you down, that He bring you to salvation. Because you can be sure, outside of salvation, you'll pay the price. Payday someday. All those who have wept and cried, all those that you've harmed, and those that you know that others have done so, you better get out and tell. You better bring the uncontested evidence out. You better turn it over. You better deal with this now. You better deal with it now. Now let me talk back to Christians and believers that are a part of this and want to be a part. If you click on the icon where it says prayer warriors, you're going to go to a section where it talks about, you know, the prayers, the actual prayers that we're going to pray. A rare breed of prayer warriors that will know how to focus in the name, by the cross, with the blood of Jesus and the given authority that we have in Christ. You know, we're going to pray against the dark powers, first of all. And I'll go over all these in a few moments. I'll go over the whole prayer list in just a few moments. But I want you to understand, as you go through this and read all of this, there is a call for prayer warriors. And please do send us a note. Tell us you're going to join in being part of the prayer warriors. Maybe you live in San Francisco. We've already got somebody from California that's written in, and they've added their commitment to prayer. We're not putting anybody's names up. We'll put from what area you're praying from, what area you're joining in the prayers with. So I'm trusting that many, that maybe hundreds, there might already be hundreds out there, and that God might give us a day that we meet out there, and that we join in a great, great, great prayer meeting and revival meeting, Man, when God strikes with great spiritual awakening and God's power falls, tremendous things occur. And great battle goes on. And you got to decide right now whether you're going to carry this through to the end, whether you're going to keep doing it. Because I'm going to tell you something. When Peter was in prison, he was absolutely bound with chains. He had guards by him, and he was marked for death, and he had nowhere to go, and he was completely hopeless as far as that's concerned. But let me tell you something. What happened was is that believers began to pray for him. And as they prayed, notice this about prayer. I want to tell you this. Prayer is meant for you to get answers. When Moses prayed in the Old Testament for God's power to be on Israel, as long as the prayers, you know, the hands of intercession stayed up, the power of God operated, and they won. But when those hands of intercession went down, you know, they began to lose. So I'm going to tell you right now, if you're going to join this assault of Bohemian Grove, it's all about seeing the whole structure of it destroyed. The demonic worship, the healing of the individuals, the stopping of perpetrators. If they won't repent, and if they won't turn to God, and if they won't, you know, come out of it and confess and find the mercy of Jesus, then may God do whatever it takes to bring them down. Whatever it takes to bring them down, God, I'm going to pray that way. So we got to pray. We got to keep praying. You got to pray on a weekly basis. All through the month of October, we're asking individuals to pray, you know, at least every day, and pour out your prayers. And when you see where it talks about prayer warriors, you're going to see the listing. I'll go over some of the prayers right now. And I've even seen the miracle that can help them. And the current victims to be supernaturally delivered. Pray for restoration, empowerment, restitution. Pray for victims to be found. Pray for victims to recover the memories that have been buried through post-hypnotic suggestion and the powers of programming and mind control. Pray for current victims to be not only supernaturally released, but be brought to safety and for them to find people like you, some of you Christians who are listening, to find people who'll take them in and help them and bring all that they need and bring them safety. Let's pray, you know, for those who are dead to be remembered and vindicated. Remember when Cain killed Abel and his blood cried out. God knows. He knows what to say. For all the help and all, and pray for some of the victims to be raised up in such a powerful way that they're going to be out there fighting and exposing and doing, you know, this to really deal with what went on. Brave people like John Knox, like Daniel, like Nehemiah, like Esther, like Deborah, like Philip. Powerful believers. Pray for more laborers and more workers. To grow, for God to send laborers to come in specific ministry to Bohemian Grove, for the destruction of evil and for the redemption of human lives. Pray for God to send laborers. Pray for God to arrange things and to bring out the warriors and soul winners and counselors. Pray Isaiah 58 about repairers of broken walls. Pray for those who are researching. Pray for the right level. I mean, godly law enforcement, godly government, godly people, maybe even a military, to really catch hold of this. Pray against all the dark powers that are being raised to blind people in politics, law enforcement, and military from seeing the evil. They use those kind of rituals. Pray against them. And just pray for the Spirit of God to really lead and guide you. And take time to maybe join with one or two people over the net, over the web where you're joining with people. Maybe you have a specific time in the day where you'll pray at the same time and pray for each other. Pray for me and pray for the other people listed. You can go to the prayer section where names, not the names of individuals, but where they're praying from and pray over those names. Some don't want to be listed, and that's okay. And pray for your team. We had a small group of about seven people Sunday night, and we've already begun to do prayer Sunday night and joining them in praying over this whole thing that we're talking about. So I just want to encourage you that as we pour out these prayers, I believe that a shaking can come. Acts chapter 4 showed when they prayed for boldness, the power of God fell, and even the building shook. May God give. I don't care. I don't care any. I don't worry about skeptics any longer. I just say, God, whatever you need to do in miraculous ways, you know, even like in the book of Acts when angels were sent, whatever is necessary for God to stretch out his hand and destroy the evil and destroy the ritual site and stop what's going on there. And not just so they could run and have rat lines, demonic, you know, to run lines other places, but for perpetrators to be found. Listen, it's a supernatural war. God says in Ephesians 6, it's not just against flesh and blood. The powers behind the perpetrators. May God bring an attack on those powers in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, by the authority we've been given, may we rebuke those powers, commanding them to be exposed, destroyed. And as we read in Colossians 2, where they'll be triumphed over by the cross and be made an open spectacle by what Jesus is and does and did at the cross and is doing this very day. He's the living Christ. He's the Almighty God. Father, I pray for everyone who will join the totality of Psalm 91 to be a covering over our lives. But safety is not the number one issue. Your ministry into the thousands of past victims and current victims of Bohemian Grove is the issue. Your hand out to those people who've been drawn in there to labor and work, and those young apprentice priests and priestesses and laborers and workers, may open their eyes, lead them to repentance, lead them out of it. And if there's senators or governors and others and wealthy and others that have been a part of it, Lord God, lead them, deal with their conscience, visit them every night until they can't stand it, until they have to repent. And that they're not going to just sit back and watch this junk. And where all the threats are made, where they're threatening people to stay silent, come against those who are making the threats. Come against the demonic side of that, the physical side of that. And Lord, whatever it takes, even if it takes destroying those who are making threats, even if it takes getting them out of the way, even as you crushed all of the Roman Empire, God, and brought it down in its decadent, aggressive, battling of against you and of Christ and of the body of Christ. So we pray that. We pray for, God to just bring it down. So take your time. Study over the stuff. Ask God to speak to you about the whole thing and what you're going to do. And I hope to hear from you as a believer. And if for any reason, you're not a believer in Jesus Christ and you've gotten a hold of this and somehow, you're listening, I'm just telling you, and you're not even sure what all this is about, number one thing I want you to know is the Word of God says this, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only, his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Verse 17 in that same chapter says, God did not send his Son to the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God loves you. Christ died on the cross and shed his blood for you. He died on the third day, like the prophet said. He was raised from the dead. And he's alive to this very day. And he offers you salvation. And we encourage you to come to Christ. Believe on the name of Jesus. Repent of your sins. Turn to Jesus Christ. If you're somebody out there that has the evidence of Bohemian Grove, contact us. Contact Alex Jones. Whoever you know is going to deal with this stuff, contact. Get the message out. Get the materials out. Help bring evil down. Those thousands of acres should be used for good. And they've been used for blood and shame and humiliation and decadence, the destruction of human lives, and has become a cesspool, a gateway of conjuring the dark powers to influence the world. The wrath of God comes on evil. Mercy does triumph over judgment, yes, but judgment will come. Even the demons know this. And if you've got demons, if you're one of those people who have demons in you, you know they're shrieking. You know that they're angry. But in the name of Jesus, I command them to confess. They know the day of judgment's coming. They know who Jesus Christ is. This is Russ Dizdar. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. God bless you, my friend. Next.
Maria m'absolvisti et latro